You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of December 5th, 2017. And this is episode number 340, in case you're counting at home. And this is your host, as always, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. Well, this week we continue the top 10 paranormal news countdown. And we have some, I guess I'd call it new news in the news that we're going to cover first. And we're going to talk about the Nebraska Bigfoot sighting plot that is kind of took an interesting turn after I reported on it last week. And our Bigfoot building structures in New Mexico. This is an interesting one that not too many people have heard about. And we're going to talk about the cryptozoology books of the year, MUFON sighting statistics for November. And as I mentioned, we're going to have the top 10 paranormal news countdown. The countdown started last week. We did number 10 and number 9. So if you missed that, well, you're going to have to wait till the end of the month. Just kidding. I wouldn't do that to you. We'll talk about number 10 and number 9 as we get into number 8 and number 7 for this week. And speaking of this week's news is brought to you by Thomas Francis University. Thomas Francis University is a metaphysics school that offers online spiritually based bachelor's, master's, and PhD doctoral metaphysical degrees, as well as single standalone courses in related metaphysical and esoteric topics. Instructors are easily accessible and offer world-class customer service and instruction. TFU and other ICMH schools have hundreds of students and graduates in more than 50 countries worldwide. And for more information on Thomas Francis University, please visit tfuniversity.org. And if you're going to read a promo, don't scroll the screen at the same time. That's my nightly tip, or I should say weekly tip to you guys. Anyway, what's going on with me this week? Well, lots of stuff, I guess. It's getting colder. No snow, thank goodness. The winds are howling outside here, and it's the temperature's dropped about almost 20-some-odd degrees today. So, yeah, it's going to be cold tomorrow morning. Not looking forward to scraping off the windshield, but that's what it is. It's that time of the year, and things do slow down as the weather gets colder up here in the northern hemisphere, and hence why I do the top 10 paranormal news this time of the year. Obviously, we're counting down the year. We're looking back. We're reflecting on the year. It's kind of hard to do that in July, but anyway, have another show. This isn't just the only show you're going to hear me on tonight if you're listening live. You can also hear me live at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern on the Mallard Report with host Jim Mallard. It's a pretty popular show from what I hear, I think. Yeah, I've been on there a couple of times. Very good show. Jim has been a longtime friend. I've known him for quite a many years. And it'll be fun to be back on the show. It's kind of relaxing. It's fun. And it's one thing to be on. I know this is weird. Every time I say this, I always say the same thing, but it's fun to be on this side of the mic to bring you a show, but it's also fun to be on the other side of the mic and be interviewed. I mean, just be relaxed. I can drink my tea without having to take a pause like that and not have to worry about people going, what happened? Did he drop off? Is he still alive? But regardless, I'm still on the same side of the mic. I mean, the mic is like on the desk here. It doesn't really move. I guess I could try to talk on the other side. Anyway, I know that's silly to say. What else is going on? Well, planning and preparation for my paranormal conference. I mentioned the events all the time. We talk about paranormal conferences, conventions, and I'm starting to update the calendar for 2018 because it's right around the corner. And I have a decent chunk of them on the calendar so far, but I'm still waiting on a few to turn their websites back on or to get actually a Facebook page set up or something going so I can officially send you to that particular website. And just want to make sure that these things are going before I post them. A lot of people will announce a paranormal conference and they get all excited, and then they realize that they can't do it, and so they get canceled. So I like to wait a couple of weeks once they're announced, once their websites are up and running, and then I'll get you that information on the Paranormal News, the official home of the Paranormal News Insider at paranewsinsider.com, and then you can check out all the events that are going to happen. Now, obviously, I can't do all of them, and that's where you come in, the listener. If you have any information about any event and would like to hear it here, hopefully I'll have try to carve out some more time next year to talk about these events, not just mention where they're at or what's going on, but who's going to be there as well. It's got a lot of work, but I want to do it for you guys because I really very passionate about these paranormal conferences and conventions. And yeah, they're not all the same. Some are just I don't want to say that they're horrible, but you know, each one is different. Let's just put it that way. That's the political answer. Some are really good. Some are not so good. And I'm not saying about how many people are in attendance. It also means what types of people you're going to be having speaking at your event. And as I'm starting to say, next year I'm hosting the Twinsburg Paranormal Conference, February 17th, 2018. It's one of the earliest ones next year, and it's kind of a gamble because it's Northeast Ohio. The weather can be very unpredictable up here at this time, being about 30 miles off of Lake Erie. And the mistake on the lake. You can go ahead and say it. I know that you're thinking that. And maybe it'll be warm, yes, because maybe the lake will catch on fire, somebody else said. That probably not going to happen, but it's a nice thought, I guess. But it's a risk. It's a gamble, but people are very excited about these events. And this area, particular area where I'm hosting this, is pretty much right in between the Cleveland and Akron, Ohio markets. And we don't really have too many of these. There is a conference that's primarily ghosts that occurs fairly close to there. And then you go a little further south and you have a slew of Bigfoot events. So this is kind of something that's bringing all this stuff together. There's been a fairly amount of decent interest in this. I'm not trying to get too ahead of myself. I don't care if there's 5,000 people there. I'm just hoping that it's going to be very informative and very interesting for those people that are going to be there. And I know, as a fan, as somebody that enjoys listening to speakers, I'm excited because there are 7 excellent speakers that are going to be there, including WCJV's very own Colin Schneider. He'll be speaking there as well. And I don't know, just a variety of backgrounds. You have UFOs, you have ghosts, you have cryptozoology, and who knows what else will be there. And even then, I'll have a couple of people there in attendance that can serve as potential backups, and very good ones at that, if somebody has to cancel, because it happens. It's part of the unfortunate end of doing one of these conferences. Sometimes people just can't make it. And of course, I could throw myself up there, but I'd rather, you know, be the MC and let, you know, other people speak. I do enough. I have an hour show every week. I think that's enough hearing me, right? Anyway, I have a lot to talk about tonight, to cover, I should say. I don't know if I can combine those two words into one word. I almost did. But anyway, if you want to get a hold of me about these events, there's plenty of ways to get a hold of me. If you go to the paranewsinsider.com website, there is a contact form you can fill out to get a hold of me. You can also email me. I don't know if people email people anymore. insider@paranewsinsider.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Twitter. I don't know about Twitter, but you know, I'll answer you one way or the other. And I will appreciate your help in putting this list together. And again, I haven't really dug into it 100% to fill out that list because it's still kind of in that weird area where only the first few of the year are going to be ones that I can really trust to be put on. And yeah, I think it's going to be it for me this year. I think tonight with the Mallard Report is my last scheduled appearance for the year. It's crazy. It's great to put the finally put a final nail on the coffin, I guess. Is that appropriate to say about yourself? I don't know, but it's been a long year. It's been an interesting year. I mean, it's been fun. A lot of good things, and I'm really looking forward to next year. Obviously, kicking off the year with the convention. Who knows? Maybe I'll have another radio show. I don't know. Not looking too far ahead. Right now, let's get through tonight. What do you say? And tonight, I got a few cryptozoology stories to cover. I don't know. It just happens that way. It seems like we get more cryptid stories than anything else. That's usually why I talk about it first. Well, last week, I mentioned the story where police responded to a motorist who claimed she saw Bigfoot. This has been all over the news, so I'm sure you've probably heard about this. I don't know if you heard about the update, which is what I'm going to talk about here. And this woman who claims she saw Bigfoot along Interstate 80 on Saturday, November 25th, the woman has now been identified as Robin Roberts of Castle Rock, Colorado. Now, Roberts just so happens to be a speaker at next year's second annual Nebraska Bigfoot Conference in Hastings, Nebraska. Now, she's an investigator with the Sasquatch Investigations of the Rockies and was in town to research some areas of Nebraska with her friend, Harriet McFeely. Now, McFeely is an organizer for the Nebraska Bigfoot Conference and fielded the call from Roberts about seeing the Bigfoot. Roberts described seeing a deer running across the freeway, so she scanned the right side of the road to see if any more were headed her way. I know exactly how she feels. I do that every time, too. It was then that she was, quote, pretty sure, unquote, that she saw a Bigfoot standing by the side of the road along a fence of the shoulder of the highway about 20 feet away. Now, she saw it with her headlights, so it was kind of dark at the time, and she was driving about 75 miles per hour. So I'm not sure how much detail you can really get. I don't know how pretty sure you can be when you're driving that fast and you see deer. I don't know about you, but I'd be panicking if I saw a deer running across the road and I was driving that fast. I don't know how much detail you could actually make out. The two state that the contacting of the state highway patrol was not to get attention for the conference, but it sure as heck did pay off, I'd say. The highway patrol did send a vehicle to check the area out, but only because they were concerned that it was potentially a stranded motorist walking along the freeway. And yes, police did not find any evidence of a person, let alone a Bigfoot. Now, personally, I was hoping to see if they found like a log or like a tree leaning up against the fence or something, so we could say, oh, she definitely saw this. It wasn't really a Bigfoot. But no information on if they saw anything or found any kind of actual physical evidence of any sort whatsoever. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. If that is potentially, I don't know. How you call the highway patrol just because you see a Bigfoot. How many people do that? How many people do that? I don't know. Not many. Not very many, but anyway, I don't know. We'll have to see if this story, I don't know. We'll see if it continues, or I don't see what else could happen here. It's not really going to evolve, I don't think. It just added to the pile of Bigfoot stories. And speaking of the pile of Bigfoot stories, we have a story that I don't think I've ever covered this topic. I'm not a huge believer of this stuff. Stick structures. And stick structures have become a part of Bigfoot folklore for a while now, and many feel that random piles of sticks mean that a Bigfoot has decided to build their own Super 8 hotel in the woods, or that they use sticks as directional markers. There's a lot of, hypotheses about Bigfoot having sticks and rocks and different things to do different things. I don't think anybody really knows. No one's ever sat down a Bigfoot and said, hey, why is that stick, or why is that tree shoved in the ground upside down? What does it do? What's it for? We don't even know if they're really doing that, but a lot of people get carried away with it and say, oh, definitely. But stick structures recently discovered in the Santa Fe National Forest in New Mexico have officials worried but not because of a Bigfoot. The National Forest revealed that about 10 human-built conical stick structures, that's what they call it, were discovered at the Aspen Vista picnic area. Another 7 or 8 were discovered at the Tasike Peak Road at Aspen Vista, and more were found along the Windsor Trail and in the drainage area. Some of these structures, they're saying around 20 feet tall. That's 2 stories to you and I. And some are about 20 feet in diameter. Some pretty serious stick structures. Now, that took a little bit of time to build. And again, this is in a national forest in New Mexico. And I'm pretty surprised that nobody really saw these things being built or nobody reported them. Although it looks like these areas where they're found are fairly remote. And it's not like along a trail. You know, you park your car and walk along a trail. This is kind of in the woods a little bit. So I kind of understand that. The real concern, reason why they're a little worried about all this, is because of fire. And some of the structures were found to have fire rings within them, and the sticks used to build them are very dry. And, you know, we hear about these California fires that are out of control right now. New Mexico is actually having the same problem. There's a lot of wildfires, and it doesn't really take much in dry conditions to start something massive that can get out of control and can, you know, cost a lot of people not just loss of property, but potentially loss of life as well. It's a very serious issue. Spokesman Julianne Overton commented, quote, "The wood is seasoned and dry, and the design is similar to classic kindling pyramid, but on a much larger scale," unquote. So the threat from fire is a severe one, with the 1,000-plus large sticks that were used for a single one of these structures. These pictures are just insane how big some of these things are, especially the one where they have the fire ring built in there. I mean, yeah, fire, the threat of fire, but also not to mention what might happen if one of these things were to collapse on somebody out in the woods. Even a group of people inside that one, if those things fell down, someone's going to get hurt very bad. And, you know, you're in the woods there, and good luck, you know, walking out of there or crawling out of there or whatever happens. That's not good, not a good situation to put yourself into. Now, as far as these structures being created by Bigfoot, she also admitted that this was a theory that someone had posted on the Santa Fe National Forest Facebook page, but not an official. Not anybody related to the forest region at all, but obviously not the case. I mean, you'll see how these are built. They look like teepees. They look very very well built, but the fact that there's so many of them is just kind of weird that the Forest Service didn't see these things or weren't reported earlier. And the Forest Service also states that, quote, "The building of these structures in a national forest violates federal regulations and are punishable with up to $10,000 in fines and 6 months in prison," unquote. So, Bigfoot, if you're listening and you built these things, I hope you have deep pockets, because they're coming for you. And you might want to knock them down or something. I don't know. And it's crazy. If somebody actually built these, I'm sure somebody had a good reason they thought to build these things, but didn't really stop to think about the danger of fire and the danger of potential collapse with that. Obviously, a lot of people don't think about consequences about things. So let me get that link, and I'm going to post that in the chat room there. And you can, if you're listening live and you're in the chat room with Dita and Paul, and Walt is in the house, and Jim Mallard's in the house. If you're riding along with these guys here in the chat room, you're going to get the first glance at these links. Now, obviously, you can look up these stories and you can find these links yourselves. I mean, Google everything. But sometimes I don't use readily available links. I kind of do a little bit of research on these stories to verify the validity of them and to look at other sources for other extra information. There's some confusing information on some websites I've noticed occasionally throughout the years. And so the links that I share tonight here in the live in the chat room, as well as afterward on social media through Facebook. My Facebook for Paranews Insider is connected to Twitter. So if you follow either one of those, you're fine. Don't worry. It's okay. You'll get all these same links and information. So you can like me on Facebook on the Paranews Insider website, facebook.com/Paranews Insider, or just look it up. Come on. You know how to do that. I'm not talking to a four-year-old. You know what you're doing. You are internet savvy, I can tell. Okay. So that's that link. And let's see, what else we got here? Oh, this is a great story. It's my favorite story of the week. And if you ever been in the chat room, I do these, I don't know why. I guess I'm crazy. It's not like I don't have enough time to do all these spare things in my spare time. But I do these little outro type photographs, and I post them in the chat. I mean, it's just fun to do, I guess. I don't know. And yeah, tonight it's dedicated to this particular story, and it's a cute little story. I think it's nice, and it just popped up in one of my news feeds, and I thought, well, you know what? It's not really newsworthy. It's not really noteworthy. It's not going to change anything. No, it's not going to go viral, but you know what? I want to talk about this because it's a cute story. I have a soft side to me. You might not know that. I don't know. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't care. I don't know. This is a cute story, and it centers on a penguin because penguins are cute and it's cold outside. So you kind of think about penguins when it gets cold outside. You don't care about them in July in the heat. You don't want to go to the zoo and see a penguin in the July. Anyway, maybe you do. So this penguin, he lives in Tennessee. It's a Gentoo penguin. Which, according to my quick research, I believe was the second largest type of penguin. It's a newly born chick at the Tennessee Aquarium, and a public poll was created to help name the now five-month-old male chick back in mid-November. So the results, there was over 25,000 online and in-zoo votes. 25,000, that's pretty cool that many people were excited to help name a little penguin, a little Gentoo penguin. And it's funny because when I first saw the story, I already knew what the headline was and the results. But when you see this picture, you kind of can't help but feel why they named it this. But there are four potential names. So the zoo gave you a choice. It was multiple choice. Here's your four answers, not just fill in a blank. So your potential names were Marty, George, Panda, and Bigfoot. I know, kind of weird, kind of random. Marty and George, I don't know where they got those names from. A panda, why would you name an animal another animal? I don't get that. Bigfoot, I don't think you can actually call it an animal, so it's kind of a cool name. I don't know. And the winner, as you could probably more than likely tell already at this point, was Bigfoot. So now we have a penguin named Bigfoot in the Tennessee Aquarium. I'm going to go see that guy probably next year. That's kind of cool. I think it's funny. It's a cute little story. Baby penguin named Bigfoot. He does have big feet. If you see the picture of this guy, and I was kind of like, you know, when you see a dog, you see like a German Shepherd, and you know they're going to get big. And the little puppy, and they got these ginormous feet. Yes, ginormous is actually a word. These ginormous feet that look way too big for the body. You know that dog is going to grow into those feet. It's going to be a very big dog. It's the same thing with this penguin. His feet are huge. And he's going to be a big penguin. He's going to be a big boy. Yeah. So that's your penguin news for the week. And, oh, I almost forgot about this. The top 10 cryptid books. This was released this week by Lauren Coleman, and I had the distinction way back when. I don't know how old you were. Maybe you don't remember this. Probably a youngster. Back in 2014, my book, Handbook for the Amateur Cryptozoologist, actually made this list. It was in the top 10 best cryptozoology books of that year. But this year, no, I don't have another book out, so I didn't make the list. So the top 10 best cryptozoology books of 2017, the number one. We're doing this backwards, folks. It's not a countdown. It's a count. It's just a count. So the number one book here, the best cryptozoology book of the year, as determined by Lauren Coleman, is the Boggy Creek, Beyond Boggy Creek, In Search of the Southern Sasquatch by Lyle Blackburn. Haven't read that book yet, so I can't really comment. But what I've heard about it is excellent, especially now reading this. The best personal Bigfoot hunting book of the year, Monster Hike, a 100-mile inquiry into the Sasquatch mystery by Avril Seal. Also in this listing is Hunting Apes in America, My Life as a Bigfoot Hunter by Jerry Hestand. Witnessing Bigfoot by Glenn S. Bollier. The Quantum Bigfoot by Ron Moorhead. Bigfoot in Pennsylvania by Timothy Renner. Bigfoot in Pennsylvania, A History of Wild Men, Gorillas, and Other Hairy Monsters in the Keystone State. That's one that's on my list that I want to get. Northern California Sasquatch Stories by Dan Lindholm and Corey Fredrickson. The Best Popular Culture Cryptid Book of the Year, Stephen R. Bissett's Cryptid Cinema, Meditations on Bigfoot, Bayou Beasts, and Backwoods Boogeymen of the Movies by Stephen R. Bissett. An intro by David Coleman. The Best Skeptical Cryptozoology Book of the Year goes to Yeti, The Ecology of a Mystery by Daniel C. Taylor. And, well, I guess there's not just one. There's two here. The Loch Ness Mystery Reloaded by Ronald Binns. And there's a couple of other books here that are revised editions. And you can see the entire list if you want on CryptoZooNews.com, and there's a link there to that, as well as I covered this story previously about the Cryptozoologist of the Year for 2017, which was announced to be Seth Breedlove, in case you didn't hear about that. And there's also an article that you can read about the top 10 cryptozoology deaths of 2017. Not sure I want to celebrate that, but a lot of great people that we lost this year in the field of cryptozoology. So it serves... it's nice to go through that list and remember those people that we lost during the year. And, whoops, well, too late. There it is. There's the link there to that actual story. And if you scroll to the bottom of that story is where the other links are to the Cryptozoologist of the Year, as well as the deaths of 2017. So you can get all that information right there. And again, like I mentioned, during the week after the show is over, probably starting tomorrow, because I'll be pushing out the link for the story after the show. And then tomorrow I'll start pushing these links out one or two a day. I don't like to inundate people. I don't like to do, you know, like 10 posts a day. I don't know. That's just how I am. I don't want to inundate you too much and get you that information out during the week. And sometimes, like this Bigfoot story, I did push out that link when I got it, because I thought it was kind of interesting that we got this information right after I did the show. I think it was the following day that this came out. So I was like, well, you know what? Why not? But I'll still push that link out again regardless. And I'm probably going to do a little bit more of that to kind of keep you on the cutting edge with things that are coming out. Although it's weird, because more often than not, I'm doing stories one night. I'm doing it on a Tuesday night, and then these stories kind of hit mainstream a few days later. That shows me that I'm doing something right, because I'm hitting these stories before they're going viral, which is great. It's good for you too. If you're listening, you're going to know, you're going to have that great water cool discussion. You're going to know this stuff before it hits everywhere. So now you know about that penguin that not too many other people are going to know about. Yeah. Anyway, you're tuned into WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVRadio.com. And you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And got one more story here somewhere. MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, in case you don't know what that stands for. Now, they've released their November sighting statistics for 2017, and I cover this. I try to cover it monthly. I don't know how much longer I'm going to do this, but I think it's interesting. It's really, really – it's pretty much, I hate to say it, lack of a better term, meaningless. because we are getting a glimpse, but it's such a small glimpse at UFO sightings. It doesn't really tell us anything. I just think it's interesting to look at where things are being reported and the numbers, how they're jumping around for MUFON. It's really pretty much been stagnant over the course of the last few years. Had a really big year a couple of years ago, and then it's just kind of settled down a little bit. But, you know, I was hoping that MUFON was going to make a lot of changes and was going to grow a little bit, but I'm not so sure about that. But I still find it good information to an extent, but I don't take it that it's anything like scientific or that it's data that's going to explain anything. It's just, I don't know. It's just, it makes good stories, I guess. And I like statistics. I like numbers. And, you know, it's really not showing us anything extremely overwhelming, I guess, is the thing. But as far as the collection of statistics, nobody collects more right now than MUFON. So it's something that we should really pay attention to, regardless if it really is going to tell us anything or not, because you never know what could come from this information. But I don't know. Some months I just feel like I'm not even sure if it's worth it or not. But anyway, there are November sighting statistics. But first, let's look at October. And let's see. October reveals that MUFON reported 659 total worldwide cases, with 482 occurring in the United States. Now, based on those numbers, I made a quick estimate as to what I thought November would bring with my monthly predictions, and I was way off in October. So didn't expect to be too close this month either. And I predicted for November, and I know that Dita writes this down, so I can't really lie about it. Thought about it a few times. Maybe if I just skewed it by 20 or 30, maybe nobody would really even know, but I'm sure I'll get busted for it. And I don't want to lie. My integrity is all I have. I predicted that November would have 624 worldwide sightings, with 439 taking place in the United States. Well, yeah, not even close. MUFON reported for the month of November 697 reports, with 474 taking place in the United States. I guess it wasn't horrible. But that's a jump worldwide in the worldwide numbers from October, and actually a slight decrease in U.S. numbers. And even more confirmation that my predictions are pretty much just guesses. Now, after the United States, they have 474 sightings. The United Kingdom is next on the list with just 55 reports. And that's because, obviously, MUFON is U.S.-based. And I don't know if – I'm sure the U.K. has their own reporting agencies. So MUFON really doesn't have that big of a presence there. But it's – I mean, it's still 55 is pretty decent, I guess. It's larger than the average – state, actually tied the number one state this year, so, or this month, so I don't know. Canada is next with 48. Australia had 15. Germany had 10 reports. Argentina and the Russian Federation, Brazil, and Spain all had 8 reports each, and France reported 5 cases. 36 other countries turned in 4 or less reports, with 22 countries only turning in 1 report each. And looking at the 474 U.S. reports, we see that California has turned in the most with 55, as they should, because California is number one in population for the state. So that kind of, it should happen that way if the numbers are consistent. Florida was second with 35. Pennsylvania was next with 32. New York had 28. Arizona and Texas had 19 each. Ohio had 18. North Carolina turned in 16. Colorado had 14. Illinois, Oregon, and Washington State had 13 cases each. And Massachusetts had 11. Missouri, New Jersey, Minnesota, and New Mexico had 10 reports each. And 33 other states turned in reports, with only 6 turning in 1 report each. And another thing I do is I like to crunch the numbers a little bit and look at the per capita, that's what I was looking for, per capita breakdown of some of the states to see Like I mentioned, California is number one in population. So they should, by the numbers, should have the most reports. It's just how it should flow. You should have these states with millions of people should be up in states that have only a few hundred thousand people. We only have one or two reports each. That's just, it's just statistics. That should be how it's distributed. And when you start looking at the numbers and dividing it in to per capita, so per capita typically is per 100,000 people. And so that's what I look at here. But again, when I say it's pretty insignificant, it's because we're looking at fractions of people. So portions of people per 100,000. It's not like, 10 people out of 100,000 are reporting these numbers. It's kind of minuscule. That's where it's not really overwhelming information, but you take it for what it is. And, I mentioned California, number one in population for the state. Their 55 sightings produced a number per 100,000 as 0.14. So 0.14 or I guess 0.14 of 100,000 people. So it's like somebody's arm of a body, not even a complete body, turned in a report. And if you look at the U.S. as a total, looking at total population, the 474 reports, it equals out to 0.149. So California is actually a little under normal, what it should. State of Florida, they're number three in population. And they turned in, they had 35 reports and they turned in a 0.17 number for their per capita. So a little bit above normal. It's pretty good. Pennsylvania, they're number six in population. They turned in 32 reports. They turned in a 0.25, which is pretty good. It's a quarter of a person. So one out of every 400,000 people reported a UFO during the month. Arizona, number 14 in state population. They had 19 sightings. They turned in a 0.274. Colorado, 21st in population. They had 14 sightings and a 0.253 to go with that. Oregon, which is number 27 in state population, their number was 0.318. That's pretty impressive. That's their biggest one yet with their 13 reports. Utah, number 31 in state population, had only 9 reports, but their per capita number was 0.295. Nevada, number 34, they had a 0.238. That'd be great if it was 2 point, but 0.238 with 7 sightings. New Mexico, they're number 36 in state population. They had 10 reports, but their number was 0.481. That's pretty good. New Hampshire, 41, number 41 in state population. They turned in only 5 reports, but their per capita number was 0.375. So that's pretty impressive. But again, only 5 reports because they have a lot less people living there. The state of Maine, number 42 in state population, they only had 9 reports, but their number was an astounding 0.676. And they're our winner this month, I would have to say. Alaska, number 48 in state population, they only had 4 sightings, but they turned in a 0.539. Vermont, they're 49th in population. They had only 2 sightings reported, but they had a 0.32. So their number is huge, but they only had 2 reports. And again, these are reports put in for that particular month. That doesn't mean that these UFO sightings actually happened that month. So if something that was turned in on November 2nd, it might have happened somewhere in October. It could have happened even in July. It could have even happened 20 years ago, and they're just getting around to adding it into the MUFON sighting database. They don't really divide stuff out, any better than what I'm saying here, unfortunately. They're supposed to update their database, and if they do, that would be fantastic. But then again, these numbers would change every month, and your November reports could change from month to month moving forward as people would reveal certain reports. So it would almost be, I don't want to say useless, but really almost pointless to really discuss or talk about these sighting statistics If you could add it to a month, and that would show up in a report. I almost have to do that on a yearly basis and look back. But still, I think it's interesting to see some of these states that pop up and have higher sighting per capita numbers. But again, it's really, when you really break it down, this isn't anything that's statistically finding any information out. This is just it's just numbers, and it's almost more for entertainment than anything else. And before I forget, I got to remember putting in my predictions for December, because if I don't, I'll get in trouble. So December, I thought about this beforehand. I'm probably going to be way off again, but that's okay. I'm just guessing here, I guess. So December, I'm going to guess, my prediction will be 627 worldwide reports and 445 U.S. reports. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I had really good luck there for a while. It was actually within a couple. It was within like 1%. So it was really close. That's statistically really, really good. But anyway, since then, I've been pretty far off. Anyway, that's your news for this week. And now, sit back, sit tight, relax, grab a cup of coffee. Hot tea is what I have. What's kind of, it's not really hot anymore. It's kind of cold, actually. And get ready for the continuation of the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2017. And these are stories pretty much as how I see them. And they're put together strictly by my opinion. So if you don't like it, blame me, nobody else. It's not my WCJV's fault. It's not my producer's fault. It's me. I'm the one choosing the sequence. And this week probably won't ruffle feathers, but I'm going to tell you, next week there's going to be some upset people, but it's just how I see it. It's just what I see. And again, this goes with the stories that I've talked about all year long, and I just kind of put them in a pile, and I kind of review them, and I look at how long they were in the news, how viral they were, but also how important were they for the paranormal? Did they teach us anything? How do we learn anything about this mysterious world of ours? And even hoaxes can teach us things. I don't know. It's just kind of almost by a gut feeling, I guess. But different things I look for. And this year was really tough because you didn't really have a lot of stories that just rose above the rest. And usually I hope to rely on a couple of stories like this that are definitively going to be your top two or top three. Like we had last year, we had Wessie. It was a nationwide, pretty much a worldwide story, off and on for the whole entire summertime, and captivated everybody. So that was a shoo-in for number one last year. And we'll talk more about the other years as we go along. And like I said, each week from here up until December 26th, on December 26th is when I will reveal the number two and number one story. That's my Christmas gift to you, the listener, is the number two and number one paranormal news stories. Yeah, I couldn't fit it under the tree, so you have to wait an extra day. But I think it's worth it. It's going to be worth it to hear the number two and number one paranormal news stories. I don't know. Maybe I'll do a little longer show. I don't know. We'll talk about some of the other stuff that I don't get to between now and then. So anyway, without beating around the bush too much longer, briefly mention our number 10 story here was the Aflocalypse. The Aflocalypse. You don't remember that. Well, anyway, the Aflocalypse essentially is a series of stories that happened years past where there was mass animal die-offs. And during the year, earlier in the year, way back in February, they announced that there was a research going into about solar flares being a potential cause of some of these mass stranding events of sperm whales. And so they ended up doing an update in September, which kind of confirmed that those particular findings. So it was interesting that we found some information on something that was a top three story in years gone by. Number nine, maybe I went too quick with this one, Bigfoot. a number of stories made up the Bigfoot kind of thing. I threw them all together this year because there wasn't really any one that just jumped out and could stand on its own. But some interesting Bigfoot stories this year that we've covered that collectively push Bigfoot into the top 10. Unfortunately, some of the big known cryptids didn't make it this year that have made it in years past. And we'll talk about that as we get closer through the top 10. And once we get to top 5, then we'll start talking about some of the stories that didn't make the list. Because I don't want to spoil it right now. I mean, it's going to be some drama, I'm telling you. It's going to be some drama in this top 10. And some people are not going to be happy. But it's just, again, it's just how I see it. And I'll explain that to you as we hit that. So number eight is somebody out there. I hear a drum roll somewhere. I don't know where it's coming from. Anyway, probably Dita. Number eight this year on the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2017 is the eclipse and the end of the world, which obviously didn't happen. And again, this was one of those stories that I kind of bundled together because they kind of went together. And you remember that, the eclipse. How do you forget about something like that? It was a worldwide phenomena that happened right here in the United States on August 21st in the afternoon. And I was one of the fortunate few, well, I don't know if it was few, it was quite a few million people that got to go down to the area where you got to see the complete full solar eclipse. And it was, I'll tell you what, it was, I don't know about life-changing, but it was definitely partially what I thought it was going to be and a lot that I didn't expect it to be. And it was just, it was a very awe-inspiring event for anyone that actually got to see it. I don't care how many pictures you see of it, videos, none of that does justice to actually what you got to see when you were there. That's the only way you can really explain this. This was something that you have to experience to really fully understand or to really see it. These pictures, meaningless. It doesn't do any justice at all. And it was a very interesting thing. And it was very, very, I guess, touched by it. It was very emotional. A lot of people around me were very emotional about it. So it was definitely a once, hopefully not a once in a lifetime chance. Some people do this all the time. We have another one that's going to be passing through Ohio here in a couple of years. And we'll see about that. But anyway, in mid-August, South Carolina officials issued a warning of a potential spike in paranormal activity surrounding the upcoming August 21st total solar eclipse. The message was sent in the form of a tweet by the South Carolina Emergency Management Division and included a map that showed possible lizard man sightings from 1980 to 2001 within the border of where the path of totality of the upcoming solar eclipse would occur in South Carolina. And obviously, this was a tongue-in-cheek tweet, and it was in response to the map of the Bigfoot sightings that showed the entire map of purported Bigfoot sightings with the path of totality in it. And it's weird because I've seen that pushed out. I saw it again today. I don't know why. It's people still talking about that. I talked about the upcoming eclipse and what potentially would be some of the fallout paranormally with this. I knew people were going to be claiming to see UFOs and all these other things. Really didn't happen. But I was really surprised that there wasn't a whole lot of discussion about this until about a week prior. And like I said, this was a worldwide story. People all over the world were tuning in to watch us have this eclipse. People, you know, on the other side of the planet were excited about this. August 29th, we talked about the crop circle or Death Star, crop circle in England, which caused a lot of theorizing toward the end of August. The crop circle appeared as a series of circles within each other, along with a triangular shape coming out of them, which also included odd shapes. I know that sounds weird. Some said the shape appeared like a radio tower or as the Death Star from Star Wars shooting a beam and destroying a planet. And the circle was seen just days prior to the total eclipse seen here in the United States. And many people speculated the circles were meant to figuratively reflect the sun and the moon, although to me it didn't look like much of an eclipse. But the video of the crop circle was uploaded to YouTube, by the conspiracy theory website Secure Team 10, and they constantly upload bogus or hoax videos. But that information did spread pretty quickly, and people were like flipping out about this. And it wasn't that same episode that I talked about Nibiru and the crop circle, and it just kind of related those two things together, that Nibiru was coming to destroy Earth, and that the crop circle was a sign of that. And you can also throw in their amateur stargazer and Christian numerologist David Mead, who had predicted that Nibiru would appear in the skies on September 23rd, 2017, and pretty much take us out. And all that speculation was based on numerology, that 33.33 days after August 21st, the eclipse was September 23rd. Well, we know that that didn't happen. I don't think it happened. Did it happen? I think so. Some people say that it did happen, and the reality that we're living now is not reality. It's like the Matrix. Anyway, pictures of solar flares were popping up. People getting out of touch with that kind of stuff. And yeah, September 23rd came and went. Nothing happened. They claimed that, maybe it wasn't that day that the rapture would happen. Maybe it might not be. Then the guy kind of backed off and said, in his YouTube video, they said that this was just a sign that the Earth, the rapture might not happen that day. And, the Earth wouldn't end for about 1,000 years. What a letdown. I mean, if you're going to tell me the Earth is coming to an end, I'm selling my car. I'm going to spend my money on some fun stuff that I can't talk about on the air, and I'm going to have fun. But now you're telling me 1,000 years? Crap. Better go get my job back, hopefully. So it never happened, and they kind of backed off on this, and these so-called conspiracy theorists that knew all this information was going to happen, they had no idea. They pretty much just made it all up. And then we had November. We also had the prediction that the Earth was going to plunge into darkness for 15 days, starting on November 15th. And that's when some videos and websites would tell you. But that was just another hoax that was piggybacking to the earlier claims that goes all the way back to 2011, when the comet Elenin was supposedly going to block out sunlight to Earth as it passed between us and the sun. Not quite possible. And in 2012, we know all about 2012. Planetary alignments, blackouts, the world coming to an end, Nibiru coming in and crashing through Earth and taking us out. Well, that obviously never happened either. And so on and so forth, year in, year out, same stuff over and over, never happened. And NASA actually made an announcement about that, said, no, it's not going to happen. Don't worry. Calm down. And a lot of videos and stuff floating around about that. And then finally, November 21st, stop with the Nibiru questions. That was a story I talked about from the Washington Post that said, basically the headline read, please stop annoying this NASA scientist with your ridiculous Planet X doomsday theories. So they pretty much put it out there and said, look, this isn't real. If it was real, you would see this long before it would crash into Earth. And obviously it's not there. And, people think that NASA is evil and they're going to lie to you. But you know what? This is what they do. I mean, they look at space. They know what's going on out there. And if you don't believe them, then, I don't think that conspiracy theory websites have more information than people that are actually doing their work. Anyway, why did this story make the top 10? Well, while the eclipse wasn't a major story until a couple of weeks before it happened, it fizzled out quickly to all of the political stories that dominated the news. Yet for just a couple of days, it was the biggest story in the world. The Nibiru stories and doomsday predictions flowed constantly through all areas of the paranormal, despite relying on misinformation and a misunderstanding of the actual science. Scary things tend to get people's attention, and these stories, while hopefully obviously not true, got many to wonder whether they might actually be accurate. NASA's reaction in mid-November was a great way to close out this story. why the story was only number 8. Well, despite these claims, the world is still spinning. Despite the tracking gained by some of those involved in these conspiracy theories, the claims have not held up from a public speculation standpoint, which is important, and good old common sense. Despite gripping some with fear and concern, they obviously never generated results. And, you know, to put it philosophically, even if it were true, even if the story were to come true, the story would never have a way to be number one because I would be dead, right? Right? So, I don't know. It's weird. But I don't know. I just really thought that the stories, the speculation, the fear, misinformation, people were buying into this stuff. It was a very, very important story that we covered a lot. I mean, I wasn't serious about it, but a lot of people were really, really honestly, truly taken in with this. So I really felt that since it affected a lot of people, and I saw on Facebook how it affected people, it had to be in this year's top 10. It's number 8 this year. Number 7, this is another story that's, science just can't make people understand. I guess you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I guess that's how it goes, right? It's the same with science. You can give somebody a book, but you can't make them understand it or accept it. And, you know, science, yeah, fine. Science doesn't have all the answers, but they got quite a few of them. They got quite a few of them. So anyway, the number 7 story this year in the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2017, flat earthers. Yes, flat earthers cracked the top 10. I don't know how. It's crazy. But we saw it earlier this year, February, when you had, we talked about Tequila from the year before. Professional basketball player Kyrie Irving came out and said the earth was flat and he knew it. And got quite a bit of press about that. And was on a radio show. I mean, come on. People take radio shows seriously. And he not only did it once, he did it twice. And it got a lot of attention. Neil deGrasse Tyson, a lot of scientists weighed in on this because it was a very viral story. People were really talking about this, like, what is wrong with Kyrie? But a lot of people thought he was spoofing, that he was making fun of this. But again, he came back on the air the following month in March and said the same thing on the same radio show. But other people started to jump in on the thing as well. And former NBA player, NBA analyst, among many, many other things, he's a sheriff's deputy. He's got all these weird degrees. He was an actor, Blue Chips and Shazam, professional wrestler, and a former Cleveland Cavalier. Shaquille O'Neal came forward on his podcast. Did I mention he also has a podcast? He also declared that he agrees with Kyrie Irving that the earth is flat. And he gave a really weird speech about that. But so these, you know, professional sports stars have come out. And then we also had, toward the end of the year, rapper. I don't know if he goes by Bob or B.O.B. I don't know. It's spelled B.O.B., but I don't know. I don't listen to that stuff. He started a GoFundMe campaign to help prove that the earth is indeed flat. And he was going to purchase a bunch of stuff. He didn't even get close. He got smoked. At the end of the campaign, he raised a whopping $6,862 of the $1 million goal. Whoops. Didn't even come close. And to top that story off, in November was the 2017 Flat Earth International Conference that was held in Raleigh, North Carolina on November 9th and 10th. And yeah, of course, they attacked NASA with topics such as NASA and other space lies, flat earth with a scientific method, waking up to maintenance lies, testing the globe. There is a video out there that I'm going to watch. They talk a little bit more in depth. I haven't watched yet, but interesting that this whole story, which gained a lot of traction with these celebrities. Come on, people. Don't get your news or beliefs from sports stars and actors and rappers. they really don't know what's going on. They know what they do. They do what they do. And they, some of them make pretty good money. But that doesn't make them any more knowledgeable than you in these fields. So get your science from a scientist and get your basketball stuff from a basketball player, not a scientist. Although sometimes they can tell you about certain things that these sports players don't understand about their sport. But come on, philosophers, early scientists, at least 2,500 years ago, figured out that the Earth was spherical from simple observations. It's 2017. Come on, really? So why the story made the top 10? The subject of flat earthers received a lot of attention this year, but for no good reason. The viral nature and subsequent debate in the media and social media made this an entertaining story that popped up more times than it should have during the year, with a variety of people hopping on board the flat train. And why this story was only number 7? Well, I think it's safe to say that the Earth is not flat. I mean, have you seen the eclipse? Did you see the pictures? Were you there? Did it look flat? No. And unless this movement has some sort of serious data to back up their opinions and beliefs, this story might actually take a step forward. But obviously, for lack of a more exciting and valuable stories out there this year, this story would have easily been pushed off of the top 10 in a year with WESI or something else major going on. Probably wouldn't have cracked it. But so much information and so many people jumping in on this, and just everyday people too, seems like there's a lot of people that do believe in this stuff. And this conference that I mentioned purportedly had over 500 people in attendance. That to me is staggering, that 500 people support that. I do know that there was a few people there that were skeptical of this and just wanted to see this for their own eyes, to experience the flatness. And it's interesting. We'll see if that lets up going into 2018. Gosh, I hope so. I hope so. So that's your number 8, number 7 stories this year on the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2010. And we're getting there. We're almost halfway there already. We'll be halfway there, gosh, next week already. And plenty of information to go. Like I said, we'll also talk about the top stories of years gone by, plus stories that did not make it as time allows. And we got 3 more shows to cover the top 10. So obviously the next 3 weeks, we'll talk about it. And if anything happens that I can't do a show during that week, obviously, we're going to shoot for the 26th, no matter what happens. Well, if I have to do 4 stories in a night, we'll do that. So your Christmas present will be wrapped and under your tree, but you have to wait a day. So don't take it down until after the 26th and after you listen to the Paranormal News Insider. And yeah, that's it. We've come to the end of the show. And a reminder again, if you're interested, you want to stay up a little later, I've got an hour break, and then I'll be over on another channel, and you can listen to the Mallard Report with Jim Mallard at 9 p.m. Eastern, and you could tune in to TMR247.net, and that'll be a fun hour, the fastest hour on paranormal radio, probably the most entertaining too, I gotta say. So I'll be over there if you want to tune in. Meanwhile, big thanks to Cindy, my producer here at WCJV. Dita and Paul there in the chat room, I see you guys. Stop fighting. I see you guys. And everyone else out there, wherever you're from, however you're listening to this, whether it's Spreaker or iTunes or Podbean or however you're listening to it, I appreciate you. I honestly do. And I do this show because people are listening. If nobody listened, I wouldn't waste my time. And I'm very passionate about what I do. And I hope you learned something tonight. That's really my goal. And hopefully I opened your mind to something new. It's not my goal to be skeptical, not my goal to be dismissive of these stories, just to bring you the truth from my perspective, from my knowledge and my experience of these paranormal fields throughout 20 plus years of being involved in it. So hopefully you'll take something away from this 1 hour. show tonight. So that being said, I'll see you next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.